Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10a. And again, you can read along with me. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for who you are, that you are a sovereign ruler. God, even now you are seated in the highest place. You are sovereign over all things. Lord, we praise you that in this place your presence is strong. God, you've gathered your people together, and we ask you now that you would anoint the preaching of your word, Lord, that you would do a miracle, and that you would open up our eyes to truths in your word that are distant maybe from our knowledge or far away from our hearts. God, draw these truths close to us, Lord, because they proclaim your goodness and your greatness. Lord, I pray for your anointing to preach this service. Lord, please, God, guide and direct me and cause your word to go forth and produce fruit for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I realized something this morning that really the Lord's table or communion, whatever you prefer to call it, really celebrates the kingdom of God. It reminds us again of who the king of that kingdom is. It reminds us that it reminds us of the door to the kingdom, and it reminds us that the kingdom is now, but also not yet. Take a look at 1 Corinthians. Just kind of summarizing, Paul was writing this. He's talking about the Lord's table. As often as you eat and this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. All three things are in there that I just mentioned. The kingdom of God is one of those things that's all over the Word of God, but people have a hard time getting their heads around it. What does that mean, kingdom of God? Kingdom of God, that specific term is used 67 times in the New Testament. If you add in the kingdom of heaven, which is basically the same thing, it's another 32 times in the New Testament. But it's not just in the New Testament. The kingdom of God is a theme that goes throughout the Word of God. If you look in the Old Testament, you will not find, if you do a search, kingdom of God, you won't find anything that'll come up in the Old Testament. Or kingdom of heaven. Nothing will come up if you do a search. However, the idea is there. The whole truth of the kingdom of God is throughout the Old Testament. It starts all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 and is a theme throughout the Word of God in the Old Testament included. It's the promise that there's going to come a king. And that king would eternally reign and rule over a people who God would gather to himself. Isn't that the Old Testament? Remember Abraham? There's going to be a mighty nation raised up. And then we go on and on. And we see the truth that there's a coming king, that there's a promise, there's a prophecy, all these things. And the Jews were looking for that. Not in the way that Jesus came and established the kingdom, but they were looking for the kingdom of God because they thought it was something other than what it really was. So what we see here is that the kingdom of God is throughout the Word of God. And the kingdom of God was on earth was really inaugurated at Jesus' incarnation when Mary was overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus was born of a virgin. That was the inauguration of the kingdom of God. And here's why. Because where the king is, and the king is Jesus, where the king is, there is his kingdom. So now what we see is that the kingdom is here. Take a look at God's word again. Luke chapter 17, 21. This is Jesus speaking. Behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. He's talking to the Pharisees. They were trying to understand some things. And Jesus, that's his response. Behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It goes on in Matthew chapter 4, verses 23. And he went throughout all Galilee, he being Jesus, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. You see that you cannot separate the two. The gospel and the kingdom are together. They give understanding to each other. So the gospel and the kingdom are together. And healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Part of the kingdom. And in Matthew chapter 12, 28. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He's saying there's some signs here. The kingdom of God is here. Part of it is he's preaching the kingdom and the gospel. And there is healing that's happening. Here we see the demons are being cast out. And finally in Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God was inaugurated when Christ came. That earthly kingdom, what was about to happen, a great, great, wonderful thing was going to happen in human history. Because you can never separate the king from his kingdom. So what we have here is we have a picture of Jesus saying, I have a kingdom. If you remember, when he was standing before Pilate, he said, my kingdom isn't of this world. If it were, my people would, it would be different. He said, my kingdom isn't of this world. So what we see is that Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom of God, is an internal kingdom where Jesus rules and reigns in the hearts of his people. That's the kingdom of God. That's part of the kingdom of God. So we know that if we are believers here today, the Spirit of God dwells within us, and the kingdom of God, in a sense, is here. Every time there's a salvation, every time, by God's grace, he draws the lost to himself, his reign is established in that person's life, and the kingdom of God is expanded. The kingdom of God is here, Jesus says. It's in your midst. We see that the kingdom of God came when Jesus came, when he died on the cross and paid for our sins. But it didn't come in its fullest. So the kingdom of God came when Christ came. He was going to die for our sins, take care of that penalty, that separation that we had with God, but not in its fullest. Take a look at some other verses that we find. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I do not understand my own actions. I don't get this. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Okay? And then we go just a few verses later in the same chapter, chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. If the kingdom was here in its fullest, why would we struggle with sin still? You see, the kingdom has come, but it's yet to come. It's now, but also not yet. There's this sense that we as Christians were transformed at this point of salvation, union with Christ, and we had the Spirit of God dwells within us. And so we started seeing changes, didn't we? At least I did. You started seeing changes. Areas where you knew it was sin and you had no victory over it, and you started having victory over it, right? All of a sudden, by God's hand, for me, my language was cleared up. I stopped using sentence enhancers that didn't honor God. And it was amazing how fast that happened. And so what happened is there's this change that occurred, that the Holy Spirit dwells within all believers, and he starts transforming us into the image of Christ. And there's this measure of victory that we start having. And hopefully that measure of victory continues to grow. So we experience some change, but the change is incomplete. I don't know about you, but I still struggle with sin. We live in a fallen world. And I'm thinking, if the kingdom of God is completely, has come in its fullest, then I'm struggling with sin. What's wrong with me? Is God not great enough to set me free completely? What we have is we have a measure of God's blessings. He gives us victory in areas of sin in our lives. We experience the joy of the Spirit, what it means to walk in the Spirit. But I don't walk in the Holy Spirit 24/7. So there's something missing. It's like I've got a partial victory in a sense over sin, but I'm still struggling with it. As Paul writes, you know, the thing I want to do, I'm not doing. I know what's right, but I'm not doing it. And the thing I don't want to do, I keep doing. And if the kingdom of God is here in its fullest, my struggle would be, boy, where's the complete victory? We experience some of the blessings, and we have a measure of victory over sin in our lives, but we're still sinners wrestling and struggling against the world, against the flesh, and against our enemy, the devil. And we've got all the pressures around us. You know what it's like. You know, people mocking Christianity or mocking us for our faith, struggles with just, you know, TV and all the stuff that's in front of your eyes, and, you know, okay, Lord, help, you know, shut it off. Help me shut it off. But there's that struggle. But the great news is this. There's a time coming when there will be complete victory over Satan, sin, death, some of the results of sin in this world, disease. There's coming a time. There's coming a time when that will be that we will have complete victory over all those areas. There's coming a time. It's not here yet, but there's coming a time. So what we find is this: the kingdom of God came. It arrived when Jesus came, but not in its fullest. Not in its fullest. So it would also be accurate to say, so it's yet to come. The kingdom is now, but it is yet to come. Take a look again at God's word. John chapter 18, 36a, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." So he's making a statement. We go in Acts 1 through 3, verse 3, and then 10 and 11. Verse 3, "To them he presented himself alive after his sufferings." This is Jesus after his death and resurrection before he ascended into heaven. Okay, so that's where he's at. "To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about," what? The kingdom of God. He's talking about the kingdom of God. So those 40 days, he's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about the gospel, sharing what's going on, what happened. He's talking about the kingdom of God. And then just a few verses later, Jesus ascends into heaven. "While they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?'" Why are you doing this? "This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." He's coming back. And as Jesus told us to pray, "Pray, thy kingdom come." Jesus is coming back. That's the promise in the Word of God. When Jesus left, he said, "I am coming back. My kingdom was established, was inaugurated, but not in its fullest. And I'm coming back." What we see here is in the words, "Thy kingdom come," are three simple Greek words that describe the heart of God's plan and the culmination or the apex of all of human history. Thy kingdom come. That's God's plan. And the apex of all human history is in those three words, "Thy kingdom come." Because there's coming a day, one day, where the skies will part. Amen? The skies will part. And Jesus will literally, physically, and bodily return. In the same way that he left. That's what the Word of God says. That's what the angel said. He's coming back someday in the same way that he left. Did he leave visibly? Yep. Was it physically, bodily? Yes. And he ascended into heaven. So when we look at this, we say, he's coming back in the same way. And the sky will part. And Christ will return. And he will establish the world as we know it will end. And Jesus will establish his eternal, uninterrupted reign and rule. And all creation will honor and glorify him as creator and redeemer and king. He's coming back. He's coming back. And he's coming back to establish his kingdom in its fullest, where he rules and reigns, where Satan is defeated, where sin is destroyed, death is no more, there is no sickness. The kingdom of God in its fullest is coming one day to this earth. And Jesus' sudden, unexpected, globally visible, if you read the scriptures in Corinthians or in Thessalonians, etc., it talks about how they can see him from the horizon to the horizon. The whole world somehow will see this return of our great Savior. Somehow, but everyone will see it. No one will wonder what's happening. Everybody will know. That's what the scripture talks about. It's not going to be, wow, what was that? Was that an alien ship? No. People will know. God will open up their eyes. They will know Christ has come, has returned. And he will institute his universal kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's why when you continue to read this beautiful part in Scripture where Jesus is talking about pray like this, and he goes into this and he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Okay, we're going to talk about that next week. What does it mean to do the will of God? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? "On earth as it is in heaven." So right now in heaven, we see the kingdom of God established in where there is no sin. He is ruling and reigning, and his will is completely done in heaven. That's not the case on this earth yet. But there's coming a day. And I think the day is coming soon. All you have to do is read the news. I mean, it's just crazy. I look at some of the things that are happening, and, you know, I mean, I'm going to be 59, okay, this month. And I don't think that's very old. It's funny how when you're 30, you think that 50 is really old. Then you turn 50 and you go, 50 is not old. You know, 70 is old, right? Then you get to 60 and you go, 80 is pretty old. But it's amazing to me how many times I can say or think throughout the week, man, if you would have told me this would have been true 15 years ago, I wouldn't have believed you. I wouldn't have believed you. There's no way I would have believed you. If you would have told me that you know, I didn't read the article, but I read a headline that somehow they're thinking about trying to put a human brain in artificial intelligence. You know, they're growing body parts now. And you start thinking, how long will the Lord hesitate? How long will he hold back? Because of where the certain lines that men are crossing now. I don't know. I don't know. But I look and I say, you know what, Lord? Thy kingdom come. You know, we see what is happening. And just as I've often thought of this, when Christ came the first time, I think I would have probably struggled to believe that. You know the Messiah we've been waiting for all these years? Well, he's here. What? No, really. There's this guy named Jesus. You should see some of the things he does and the things he says. Ah, come on, man. You know, that's not going to happen in my lifetime. And I think the same thing is going to be true about his second coming. Not in my lifetime. I mean, you know, I mean, there's plenty of time. We just don't see that. We just don't see that. He will come in the same way that he left. Glory to God, amen? I mean, my goodness, we're all worried about it. I'm saying, hey, maybe today, Lord. Maybe today. He's coming again. He's coming to establish his eternal, his uninterrupted, his perfect kingdom. He's going to establish it. We're not going to go through all the things that could or could not happen around that time. We just know he's coming back. And his kingdom will be established forever. That's why. Do this in remembrance of me until I come again. We see this beautiful picture in communion. Jesus saying, hey, when you celebrate communion, you're celebrating the King of the kingdom, me. You're celebrating the door to the kingdom, the gospel. And you're celebrating the future kingdom, because someday I'm going to come back and you won't do communion like this anymore. What a great, great picture of our God. When we look at these words, thy kingdom come, the word kingdom is interesting. Some scholars struggle with the way that it's in, that particular Greek word is interpreted, because many of them believe probably the better and more accurate way would be this, thy reign come. You know, when we think of a kingdom, you think of different things. Okay, if you're a young person, you think of maybe a video game. You know, an old school game, right? Kingdom Hearts. So you have this picture of a kingdom. If you're older, you might think of, who knows? English kingdoms. So for us, it's one of those words, kingdom. What does that all mean? It's kind of blurry. But when we say, thy reign come, thy rule come, oh, okay, we get that. So it would be better translated, thy reign come. So our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy reign come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the picture that we have here. The word come is an interesting word as well, because it means let it immediately, suddenly, completely come. Let it happen now. Let it happen in its fullest. Let it happen now. So when we see this prayer that Jesus is directing us as he's giving us these general ideas, one of the things he's saying is, listen, I want you to pray that I would come now for the second time and establish my sovereign reign over the entire universe. So he's saying, that's part of your prayer, that thy kingdom come, that I would come again. And I would establish my kingdom and my reign on this earth, over all the universal kingdom, that I would do this. But it's not limited to that. I think that's the primary emphasis here. But it's not limited to that, because the kingdom of God is not limited to just a future event, is it? It's not just the second coming of Christ. The kingdom of God is now. So when we're praying, thy kingdom come, we're talking about a future event, but we're also talking about something that is happening right now. So we're praying this prayer that is a call that this future ultimate triumph of Jesus would happen soon. Today, Lord. Today, Lord. But also that there would be a sense that the kingdom of God would happen now. Right now, in a spiritual victory, I'm going to use that term, spiritual victory, for individuals, as we struggle with Satan and sin. What do I mean by that? Every victory over sin is what we would call an advancement of the kingdom of God, because he's ruling and he's reigning. He's advancing in our hearts and our lives. Every victory against sin. I think, as I looked at our Lord's this prayer, I think this is the primary prayer for the lost. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. That the lost would be saved, Lord, that you would establish your kingdom in the hearts of these people. God, draw them to yourself. Save the lost, Lord. Your kingdom come in my friend who's lost. God, you are not his king in his life. You're his enemy, as the word says. So God, I'm asking you, thy kingdom come into his life. Lord God, save him, please. Draw him to yourself. The door to the kingdom is the cross. The door to the kingdom is the cross. And there's this beautiful section of scripture that I really honestly didn't see this in before. But what it has is it has the kingdom in all its fullest in just a few verses. Take a look at... Oh man, I missed all that, didn't I? No, that's okay. Go back one. Let's see. No, we'll just go to the next one. I apologize. I apologize. It is what it is, right? Take a look at this. I love this verse. Luke 17, 21, and then 24, 20. Behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. So we have the inauguration of the kingdom of God. It goes on. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. That's talking about his second coming. His second coming. Then he goes to the door to the kingdom. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. That's the cross. That's the cross. Jesus is talking and saying, here's what's going to happen. Just as in the days of Noah, so will be the days of the Son of Man. Now he goes back to talking about his return. So we have the inauguration, Jesus saying, the kingdom of God is in your midst. And then he says, you know what? The Son of Man is going to have to suffer first. And then there's going to come a time where he'll come back. He's going to come back. He says it's going to be like the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. So we see this picture of the gospel right here. That we were separated from God. We were his enemies. We were not a part of his kingdom. And God, in his goodness and his kindness, determined that it would glorify him greatly if he made a way for lost people to be a part of his kingdom. So he sent his son Jesus. And according to Jesus' words, the kingdom was initiated at that point on earth. Jesus lived the perfect life, required to be in the kingdom that we couldn't live. And then God the Father poured out his wrath upon all who would believe their sins. He poured it out upon Jesus, the door to the kingdom. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. His sacrifice was accepted by the Father, and the door was now available to enter into the kingdom. That by God's grace, he would draw us to himself. That Jesus would die for our sins so that we would be made right with God because of what Christ has done for us, not our own works. And the door of the kingdom was opened to all who would believe. All who by God's grace through faith would believe and receive the gift of salvation through Christ, the door of the kingdom. That's how you get into the kingdom. The eternal kingdom of the King is through the cross. And we know that someday he's coming back again. Glory to God. He's coming back. And his kingdom will be established in its fullest in all the universe. So we see that this prayer of thy kingdom come is a prayer also for the lost. God, save the lost. You are the king of the kingdom. You are the door into the kingdom. So draw the lost to yourself. It's also a prayer for ourselves There are areas in my life where Jesus does not rule and reign. I struggle with sin. I desire that he would rule and reign in those areas. But my rebellious heart fights against that. And I want with all my heart, that in those areas, God, thy kingdom come. Help me to walk in obedience. You know, all these things are tied together. I want to what? Hallow thy name. I want to live holy. Okay? In order to do that, your kingdom has to come in my life, Lord. I'm a sinner separated, and I just love my sin. So God, would you please bring your kingdom in this area of my life. Give me victory over it. And God, give me the ability to do your will on earth as it is in heaven. God, do that in my heart. I see this prayer is so wonderful. Just these three small words, thy kingdom come. God, I pray that in my life, in these areas where I'm struggling with sin, that your kingdom would come, Lord. Give me victory in this area. Lord, in my brothers and sisters' lives, the struggle that they're having, if it's with fear, very easy to have that fear today and what's going on in the world. Lord, give them victory over that. Your kingdom come. Help them to cast their cares upon you, God, as it is in heaven. Lord, we're not going to worry about things in heaven. God, would you make that happen now in their hearts? So it's this picture, this beautiful picture of what the kingdom is. Lord God, your kingdom come. Your reign come. God, work this deep into my heart. I need this. I need you. I need to be more like Jesus. You know, we keep going back to this. Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit more and more every day. Lord, moment by moment, I want to be in your Spirit. I want to walk in a way that honors you and glorifies you. And just as Paul said, but that's not where I'm at right now. There'll come a time where I'm there. When I die and I'm in heaven, or you come back before I die and you establish your kingdom. There's coming a time where that'll happen, but that's not where I'm at now. You're not ruling and reigning in every area of my life. You're just not, Jesus. And I want you to. So rule and reign in me. Grant me the strength, the grace, the mercy, Lord, to walk in this. Thy kingdom come, Lord, in this area in my life. God, that I would walk in the middle of your will. You see how these are all tied together. God, I want to walk holy. I want you to reign in every area of my life. I want you to walk in your will moment by moment. God, you have to do this miracle in me. You need to do this in me. So please, God, give me this desire. Pour it out. And one of the ways that happens is by us seeking God and asking God for it in prayer. Lord, hallowed be your name in my life. Lord, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in my life, in my brothers and sisters' lives. God, save the lost. God, do these things for your glory. You know, we have a lot of biblical eschatology, what we believe about the end times and how everything's going to fall, right? And some of you will argue this way and argue that way, and everybody's right, you know? That's why we stand up and we have our beliefs. And I'm not going to go there. Some people, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? I'm not going to go there. Because I think we would all agree with this, that regardless of our biblical eschatology, we are now living between the kingdom of God's inauguration when Jesus came and his second physical, visible return in glory. We're living between that right now. So the kingdom is now, but it's not yet. Not yet in its fullest. It's coming. So when we pray, because this is the emphasis of this particular series, how do we pray? We pray as Jesus instructed us to pray. I think the primary focus here is that we pray, Jesus, please return. Return soon. Maybe today, Lord, maybe today. We ask him, God, we ask that you would reign in the hearts and the lives of the lost. Would you save the lost, God? They are not a part of your kingdom. God, would you draw them? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you're not a part of his kingdom. You're his enemy. But the door is available to you through the cross. God, would you bring your kingdom into the hearts of the lost? Save the lost, Lord. God, would you cause in my heart and other believers' hearts, God, that there would be more of a desire for you. God, that we would cherish you in a way that you deserve. That your kingdom would overwhelm us, God, in our lives. The truth of all of who you are and your glory and your greatness and your goodness. That we would pursue those things, the things of the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things, that's in Matthew 6 too. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is all a part of the Sermon of the Mount, on the Mount. And how we are to live as believers. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God, would you help me to seek your kingdom? Your kingdom come in my life, God, in these little areas that I'm still fighting, I'm rebellious towards you at. And Lord, come again soon. Please, Lord. Come again soon and set this screwed up, sin-filled, messed up world right. Establish your kingdom in its fullest soon, Lord, please. A cry from our hearts. Can we go back two slides? One slide. I love this. I just thought it. Revelation, what that looks like is Revelation 22:20. I love this. He who testifies these things says, surely I am coming soon. Jesus speaking, and John responds in this writing, amen, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Amen, come, Lord Jesus. That's our heart cry. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we look at your word, and your kingdom is one of these things. It's throughout your word, but it can be so fuzzy in our heads to understand it, to get our heads around it. Lord, thank you that your kingdom has come, that you came. Lord Jesus, you came and you died. You provided a door to your eternal kingdom. So we praise you, Lord, and we thank you. And our prayer is that your kingdom would come, Lord. Your kingdom would come to those who are lost, Lord. They are outside of your kingdom. Draw them to your kingdom. God, for our own lives, areas of rebellion where we are not submitting to your rule, your authority, your reign. But Lord, our heart's cry is also, Lord, come again, maybe today. Lord, we desire that as your name is glorified through all the universe for your greatness and your goodness that you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Creator, Savior. Worthy is the name of Jesus. Jesus, let your kingdom come today. And we pray this in your precious and beautiful name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue.